The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-pointer. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Ah, we're back. It is the Big Shot Bob pod. B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. And being moved to Indiana for three first-round picks and a player to be named later is seven-time NBA champion Robert Ory.
Hey, I'm doing a Steve French. I ain't going.
You ain't moving me. Not having it. Not having it. We're on the heels of trade deadline, man. It's sneaking up here the next 24 hours.
Bananas, man. But you know the crazy thing? I remember when I was coming out of college, I just knew I was going to Indiana. It's funny that you mentioned that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when I had my tryout for Indiana, I made like 60 threes in a row. Something ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And I had the worst tryout for the Houston Rockets. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I really wanted to go to Houston, too. I was feeling sick, and I couldn't even throw. It was bad, man. It was so bad because on draft day, that's why when the Houston Rockets was getting ready to pick, I was in the bathroom.
Oh, that's right. You told us that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the John, and people are like, where is he?
Yeah, but it's
and man, in the John, he in there unloading, boy.
I wasn't unloading. I just had to take a leak.
Yeah. You ain't got to lie. That's all right.
Hey, if I was dropping a deuce, I would have told you, but I was going to take a leak.
Probably one of the only players in NBA history to get drafted with his pecker in his hand.
Yeah, he was dropping threes in another bucket.
Yes. Man. Where do you want to start? I think the one that stands out the most to me was the Pacers-Kings trades.
Yes.
That went down. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday early in the day.
Early in the day.
Kings are just getting, like, destroyed on social media for this one. They sent Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson to the Pacers for Domas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday. Big upgrade for Indiana. They get to put Miles Turner at center. Kings fans are pissed.
But here's the thing you got to understand about that trade. Buddy Hield disgruntled the whole time.
He wanted out of there for a while.
Tristan Thompson, that doesn't really matter.
There's nothing to that. Yeah.
The Haliburton part was probably about to be upset. But you got to think about it. You got Sabonis back. You act like he ain't good. The dude can fucking play.
Yeah.
All-star. So you have to sometimes look at how these pieces fit. And I think with them, this is a good piece for the Kings. And Kings fans are, they looking all disgruntled about it. We gave up 3-for-1. You know, hold on now. Jeremy Lamb, he ain't no slouch now. He can play when he's healthy. So I think that's about to me, that trade is equal.
Okay.
It
looked like Indiana came out the winner on that.
A little bit, for the simple fact that, and then we just don't know. I thought Indiana was going full complete rebuild. I thought they were going to tear the whole thing down.
Yeah,
and you still got, what are you going to do with Miles Turner? What are you going to do with Michael Brogdon? You know, I'm pretty sure my thing is, if you're going to go somewhat of a rebuild, are those guys on the block too? Like, what are you doing with those guys? But this trade lets me know that you may not be going as full on rebuild as I thought. Getting Buddy Hield, look, I know he ain't shot well this season, and he was a piece that the Lakers were trying to get, and the Kings were adamant about not sending him to the Lakers. But that's another guy that can shoot the ball and can spread the floor and can get to the bucket. So maybe a new environment, a new situation can kind of spark some things for him. But I think Indiana got the better end of that trade. I know Sabonis is a baller. If I'm De'Aaron Fox, like, at what point in time, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, man, do I just want to get out of Sacramento? Sacramento is a place where careers go to die. Like, why would I?
We talked to Mitch Richmond about that. Yeah. You know, it's like.
But, you know, you also got to think about this. Now, you got Brogdon, and you got Buddy Hield, and you got Turner.
Yeah,
those are three good pieces right there. You know, if you look at, I'm not saying they're a big three. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when people work well together, you got a shooter, you got a good point guard, and you got a big. That's the start of something, man. And like you said, he been shooting the ball well, but Buddy Hield can stroke. He was what? At one point, he was a leading scorer off the bench in the NBA. So he's no slouch. But I think overall, you know, we got to look at how the pieces fit, because I never fit that Sabonis and Miles Turner played well together, because in this day and age, you really can't have, you know, two of the same players that are bigs on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, you need space.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like for me, I always look at Sacramento and go, every time something like this goes down and Sacramento ends up with, in my opinion, the short end of the stick, how are you a fan of the Sacramento Kings? I just don't, I can't wrap my brain around it. They don't ever seem like they're trying to go out and get a big piece. And it's like, I guess you don't have enough bargaining chips to get someone outside of drafting someone like a De'Aaron Fox or somebody to come in there and be like the centerpiece that we're going to build around. They haven't had that in forever in Sacramento.
Yeah, they haven't, but it's going to be hard to get people to go to Sacramento. It's just not a destination where guys want to go.
It's not a winning culture either.
Yeah, you know, it's too many other places in California that people just want to go for vacation, let alone go see a basketball game. So, yeah. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah. The other big one was the Blazers-Pelicans trade. The C.J. McCollum era in Portland comes to an end. He ends up in New Orleans tonight. It's a good fit, decent fit for the Pelicans, for sure. Yeah. I don't know how McCollum's going to fall in down there, but what did you think of that move?
I thought New Orleans got the better end of this trade. Mm-hmm. I love Josh Hart and the things, but Portland seemed like they're unloading anything, everything. Like, for me, when you look at Portland, I go back to when they signed Norman Powell. I'm like, why? Because you have two guys that do exactly what he does. I'm not. You can't have three players that are working in the same factory that do the same thing. And, you know, Dame Lillard and CJ had it working, but then the third, no. But now you got rid of CJ, and that's kind of what the New Orleans, that's what they needed. You know, they needed
a veteran guard.
Score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got that and CJ, you know, the thing I like about CJ, what's not talked about, he has a quiet little leadership about him. He keeps people in check. He comes out, he works hard. He's had a rash of crazy injuries of late, but I think overall he is a good presence in the locker room. And when you have, I know New Orleans is still young. They're still very young. He's young himself, but I think he is that type of youth that's old youth, where he can go in that locker room and keep those guys together. Because if you look at that New Orleans team, they're on the cusp of making the playoffs. You know, I know you haven't had Zion to be on the floor yet and be in shape yet and those type of things, but if you look towards next year, if they can keep those guys together, that's a good crew.
Yeah, and this is all geared around keeping the man that ain't seen the floor in a while, and that's Zion Williamson. So when you bring in a guy like CJ McCollum, who is a veteran and steps in to be a leader on that team, look, I know Brandon Ingram has really, really improved, and I'm proud of him for how much he's improved, but he's still a young guy. And CJ McCollum has a lot more experience than Ingram. So he steps in and becomes that leader, but he's also the one of the pieces that they're trying to add to kind of go ahead and tell Zion, hey, we know you're still a young dude, but you know, we're laying these bricks here. We're committed, you know, and it's just going to be up to him whether or not he sees their commitment as good enough. So, you know, we'll see what other moves they'll make in the past, but I do think New Orleans got the better end. And Portland, look, Dame, I respect your loyalty. I do. No one's going to question that. But, bro, it's time to go.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Do we know how many years he's got left on his contract? Is it three? Doesn't he have a few years left on his deal in Portland?
We're going to find out.
Yeah. Google knows the answer. Google knows. But yeah, if you're Dame, what incentive do you have to stay outside of Portland saying you're going to be my central piece and we're going to build around you? What's the incentive to stay?
Unless there's someone you talking to management and they're talking to you about, hey, this and that. And hey, you know how these guys all have these friendships with certain people?
Yeah.
And they already said, somebody he's friends with, I'm not going to say any names because I don't know who he's friends with. He's like, say, hey, this person here, and they're going to come to Portland and play. It's going to have to be a big Nike guy.
Yeah, he is a unrestricted free agent after the 25 season. So okay, he has 3 years,
wow. 3 years left. Yeah. So it's so I mean, unless somebody eats his contract. And you so get hold on, a lot check back this out. For him.
So he's making $39.3 million this season.
Okay.
The 22-23 season, he'll make $42.5 million. The 23-24 season, he'll make $45.6 million. And the last year, the 24-25 season, at 34 years old, he'll make $48.8 million, basically.
You know, there's a strong rumor going about where he might go.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I did not. Where does
I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
Talk about swapping people, sending Westbrook for Dame and Dame for Westbrook.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now here's the buzz.
Match up. Yeah.
They said that the Lakers are not. They are unwilling to include the 2027 first round pick in any deal for Russell Westbrook. That's the rumor. Mm-hmm. Now that can change, but they say they are unwilling to budge when it comes to that.
But yeah. For me, I think about that. If you have the opportunity to get someone like Dame for Russ, you know, everybody's been killing Russ, and you know, he just doesn't look happy in a Laker uniform, man. And so you pull that
he
trigger.
Don't fit.
Yeah. You pull that trigger and you give him that pick. And I know you're like, well, we got the picks. Don't matter, because in 3 years, I know why they're saying that, because it's gonna be no LeBron and you probably won't be in the AD and you gotta start rebuilding. You're smart enough. You can start figuring that shit out. You know, and with the AD thing, you do a sign and trade when he gets in, after his 3 years are up, we get some picks for him. But there's a way around everything.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he – look, man. First off, you don't think AD will be here be there in 3 years?
I don't think so. Because he's such a Chicago dude. He got Chicago tatted on his body. He's going home, man, to finish his career. You know, think about it. He could go home, finish his career, play his last season there, and just enjoy being with his people, man. Because I'm not saying that I know this for a fact. I'm just saying that's what I would do. You know, if I lived in this major city, grew up a Bulls fan like that or whatever hometown fan, I had the opportunity to go home and play and have my parents watch me every game, shit, I'm out. I'm gone.
I
could bring some people with me too.
I think that probably also depends on what LA does in sort of the, I don't know, God strike me down, the post LeBron era.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like when LeBron decides, okay, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the road forward for the Lakers becomes, how do we structure this team? Who do we build around? Who's our centerpiece now? Who's our guy? And if they're throwing money at Anthony Davis at that point, which at that point I'm not 100% sure why they would back up the truck for him, but if they are, then, okay, then maybe there's a shot that he stays. But otherwise,
but they've already backed up the truck for him.
Yeah,
given him an extension. I think it's a 4-year extension. And my thing is, look, if there's any team in this league that I don't worry about how they're going to do something as far as attracting a star, well, it's the Lakers, because we worried about that after Kobe left.
It's well, the Lakers.
What's going to happen?
Of course,
there's LeBron.
Everyone yeah. wants to play in LA.
Yeah, we all know who they're going to try to go after as soon as LeBron leaves.
I know that. I know for a fact.
I think the contracts even match up perfectly. Who you think it is?
Who do I think it is?
Yeah. Let's say it at the same time. One, two, three.
Jason Giannis. Tatum.
Oh, you said Rob says Giannis.
I said Giannis.
You said Jason Tatum.
I said Tatum.
I say Giannis. Okay. Because I think about this, you know, I think that.
Where would Giannis be at that point in his career? He'd be.
He's still young.
Yeah, he'd be early 30s, 27. Right?
Yeah.
So he would be 30, 31?
Yeah. So, but you know, who knows? He might be the next LeBron as far as keeping his body in shape. Because I look at when someone takes a hit like he did in the playoffs and don't tear anything in his knee and still get out there and play,
dude,
he's something special.
I thought that was like the way he went down in that game against the Hawks. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh god, that's an ACL at least.
Yeah. And some guys are just built different. I think he's one of them.
He was back.
Let me tell you why I said Tatum.
Okay.
Let's see.
And I don't know, because I know Boston they're gonna move heaven and earth to try to keep him as you shoot.
Sure.
But a guy like that, there are just too many little messages that I see him post. Anytime he's in LA, there's this, you know, just pictures of people taking him. He's just admiring the logo. He's a huge fan of Kobe Bryant. It's just so many different signs that he's sending, you know, he may inadvertently be sending them, but he may not even be aware that he's sending them, but you know how LA people get. Oh my goodness, he's just adoring this sign. Oh, he's a big Kobe fan. Every time he gets to talking, it's about Kobe. Wearing Laker jerseys here and there. Like, he's not the prototypical Boston Celtic player who hates the Lakers. No, I'm a Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe. You know, playing, I mean, it's just what it is. So I can see him in a Laker jersey for real.
You can say the same thing about Booker then.
Yeah.
I don't see him leaving Phoenix.
I don't either. I think Ayton may play a part in that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they work this out with Ayton and he
does
they
better.
Which I don't see any reason why they wouldn't or they should.
First of all, let's just say this. If I'm Ayton, right now I've seen people who I've drafted ahead of get their money and you still ain't paid me yet.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Right.
You're going to have to come with the fucking bank for real.
I'm the number one pick in the 2018 draft. Trae Young got his money. Luka got his money. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City got
his money.
No. Your dude that sits two seats down from you got his money.
He got paid.
Your teammate
your ass
got
didn't
his
get
money.
Paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold on.
Oh, so, now I'm throwing bricks, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, he
got 120. I want 170. What? No, I want the fucking max plus some. I want the Danny Manny deal where I get part ownership too.
Exactly.
But they can't do that anymore. But I'm just saying, I want part ownership. Damn it.
So, give me a piece of the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me a piece of the club. The other big story flying around, and I would say that 1,000,000% I don't think anything's going to happen, is the Harden Sixers stuff. And I give Daryl Morey credit. He has not backed off this. He was told flat out, no, we're not moving James. Like, flat out. And he has not backed off that position. He's called. He's talked. They've offered stuff. He keeps poking. He keeps keeping his nose in there, and he goes, if I don't get him for trade deadline, if he decides he wants to become an unrestricted free agent, Philadelphia's going to be the place he's going to want to go.
Well, you know, first of all, Daryl Morey is a little wacky anyway, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
You know, can't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, wacky in a good way?
When you know how some people are so smart, they don't know how to deal with regular folks.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. I have this problem all the time.
That's how Daryl Morey, he is so smart that he don't understand that if someone tells you no, that means no. I don't care what you say or what you do. No, dude. But he says, okay, well, I'm Daryl Morey. I am the smartest man in basketball. I can do this. No, dude, but I'm Daryl Morey. You know, like.
Well, he's one of those guys, he doesn't understand why. He goes, if the math works, this should be a no-brainer. Why would you not do it? Like, he doesn't understand. There's no other level beyond that. Yeah. He's like, well, 1 + 1 = 2, so this makes no sense.
Yeah, because he's a guy to start all this analytical bullshit, I feel like. And so he's like, he's that analytical dude that thinks, okay, if we all know 3 is more than 2. It's okay. Yeah. Hey, come on.
So how's this not working? Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. He's the type, you know, outside of the whole analytics stuff, the fact that he's continuing to poke and prod, that's what you want in your GM.
Hell,
you don't want your GM to take a no for an answer, because a no today isn't a no tomorrow. You know, we live in a different, what was that in draft? In what was the movie that, where the guy gave away all the NFL draft picks and got a draft day.
Mm-hmm. Where he was like Costner. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, look, we live in a different world than we did 30 minutes ago. What the deal was 30 minutes ago is not what it is 30 minutes, you know, from now.
Yeah.
So we live in a different world. So that's the same thing you want your GM to kind of think, like, look, 24 hours ago was different. We live in a different world now. Your no then could be a yes now. So you just never know. The Lakers know this real well. Mitch Kupchak knew this real well.
Yeah. And I don't see any scenario where Harden stays in Brooklyn, though. Not, I mean, maybe for now, but not in a long-term capacity. I mean, unless somebody really talks him into it. It's just got this inkling of, like, he's looking for another agent. He's asking questions. He's looking at his deal. And that's all stuff that cooks up when it's like either you're negotiating hard for a big contract or you're looking for your unrestricted free agent deal. And forgive me if I'm mistaken, I don't think he's really tested free agency, truly tested it in his career.
If so, I'm KD, I'm fighting everybody. If I'm KD, I'm swinging on everybody because I'm pissed. I'm fighting Kyrie because we already know why.
Yeah.
And if this whole situation with James is true, I'm fighting James as well.
And oh, did we just lose him?
I think we lost him.
We lost Robert Horry. We lost the title star of the podcast. Son of a bitch. Oh, shit. Did we trade him? Did he get moved to another podcast?
He might. I just don't know what we got back for.
Oh, he's back.
Sorry, guys.
I thought we moved you. I thought we were like, shit, like middle of the podcast, you went to road tripping. And we got like a couple picks back in return, and that was about it. Yeah, that was the end of it. Jefferson and Fry, it was like a 2027 restricted second round pick or some shit for you.
Boy.
All right, well, we're officially back now. It's
King McKing.
You gotta love technology, man. It tends to kick you in the balls every chance it gets. You know, what I mean? It's like never fails.
And the fact that we depend on it so much, man.
Oh my God. Everything we do. Like, and I told my wife this the other day. If I ever lost my phone, I would never speak to anybody again. I don't know anybody's phone number. I don't know how to get a hold of anybody. I don't know email addresses. I mean, it's all in here.
You don't know your wife's phone number?
My wife's phone number is the only phone number I know. It's the only one. I couldn't tell you anybody else's phone
Same
number.
Same here.
Yeah.
I know my son's 713-819. I don't know the rest.
And the only reason beginning. I know that. So you're like a code breaker at that point. You're like 0001, 0002. Shit, I'm here all day.
That was my phone number, 713-819-9800. And then I changed it. So
okay. Well, thank God, because you just gave it out on the podcast. So hopefully.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Yeah. They can call
but
it
that
all
ain't my number anymore.
I had that number forever. It was so easy. 9800. Okay.
So here's my question that you may not want to answer. How many phones do you have? Just the one?
Just one.
Just the one. Okay.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing is, you know, everybody says, you don't have more than one phone. So what the hell I need one phone for? More than one phone.
Oh, because my whole
point,
me?
Yeah, like my whole point is if someone calls me and I don't want to talk to you, I just say, dude, don't fucking call my phone no more. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to have another number just so I can have to walk around with two phones. No, this is how I am. Like, oh, I just fucking block you.
Shaquille has the business phone, the phone for friends that he talks to all of us on, and then the girl's phone that's only for the ladies. And I was like, how do you manage that many phones? Like, he come in here, drop three phones on the table. I'm like, which one is which? How do you know what you're even doing?
I don't know. It's so weird that he'll text you from sometime. I think he'll text you from the wrong number. So I'm like, what the fuck was it?
Like, who is this? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
We can't keep up with him.
Yeah, we have the group text, you know, just between all of us that was on the three-peat team. And so he'll text every once in a while, and, you know, and it's just like, and it's just in. Everybody stop. Then 3 months later, it's a typical guy's where you just talk. Everybody's talking. All of a sudden, you just go silent for about
and then you don't hear
weeks,
nothing.
3 weeks,
yeah, exactly.
Months,
yeah, exactly. Every now and then, I would get a text from him. It's like, let me see them titties. I'm like, well, you're on the wrong phone. You're on the wrong phone. You're on the wrong phone. My bad.
Well, he might be talking about you.
But I sent him them titties. I was like, hey. Well, you said before we get back into what we were going to talk about. By the way, we do have a game to play here, so I'm glad you're back because we're going to play a game. We got Big Shot of the Week to get to. You said you had a dilemma.
Yes.
Of some sort in regards to your son?
Well, no, it's my son and my wife. So
okay.
I just got a phone call, well, a text from Sharon Hernandez, one of my good friends who owns Melissa's Produce, Joe and Sharon. They just invited me to the Super Bowl. I have two tickets. My son, who has been begging me from the day he found out the Super Bowl was going to be here in L.A., he wants to come. And then he really jumped in hard when Odell Beckham Jr. got on the Rams. He's a huge Odell Beckham
Is
Jr.
Is this Christian?
No, Cameron. My son, the one that played football. So
right. Yeah.
He is diehard footballer. Now, my wife, who's a Raider fan, but loves the Rams because it's in L.A. So now I have two tickets. So who do I take?
Yeah. Everybody's doing the math. Everyone's like, all right, hold up.
Here's the thing.
How comfortable is your couch? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, look, I, one hand, I'm like, okay, it could be like a male bonding moment to have your son with you at the Super Bowl, especially if him, he's a, you know, a big fan. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, you talking about your wife, regardless, she may be a Raider fan. But her being a Raider fan and Trump being your wife.
But here's the thing. My son was my son before I met my wife.
True.
This is true.
Wives this love it true. When you pull seniority. They love that. Oh, shit. That's their favorite. Have you discussed this with anybody yet?
I have like, told you the first two guys
okay.
I told.
Because I would think, and this is a completely fair and objective opinion, that if you told your wife, hey, I really want to take Cameron to the Super Bowl, I would imagine she'd be cool with that because it's your son. You know what I mean? And then she will now dig at you for like the next 10 years. Well, at least he got to go to the Super Bowl. And you'll have to live with that, but that would be the offset. But I think if you asked her, she'd be like, yeah, take your kid. I don't know that for a fact. But
here's the thing. She's going to – I'm her now. Didn't you take him to the Super Bowl when it was in Houston? I've never been to the Super Bowl. Why can't I go?
Dang.
This is a slippery slope. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, okay. Let's see. I've been married for... Four times. Jesus.
No.
My last name is not O'Neill. I'm good. No, I'm kidding. See, that was unnecessary in a shot that didn't have to be taken.
It's a fact, though.
I've been married for 15 years. So this will be 15 years coming up. I can see both sides of this argument. This is not easy.
Yeah.
This is not an easy decision. I would say before you bring it up with your son, you've got to talk to Candace about it.
Oh yeah, nobody
like without anybody around. Like without Cameron, because if Cameron's there, now it becomes like a bidding war. Now it's like whose love and affection do you want more? So
I'll tell you, I give you a simple solution to all this.
Rock, stay paper, scissors, shoot. Oh,
no,
you're out.
You take to make both of them, well, they probably make both of them upset. Hey, you love both of them. They're your pride and joy. Take neither one of them, and you just take me.
You know what? Come on, dog. Let's go.
Let's come on the couch anyway. Let's make it happen.
And they both walk to the door like, are we ready? I'm like, hold on. What the hell? Who is he? How did he get in?
Honestly, I'm old. Well, look, I'm the actual Ram fan. I've been a Ram fan since
forever. Don't turn this into you. Don't lobby for yourself. We're trying to solve the problem. You're not making this easier.
My best friend is the hugest Rams fan. He's been a Ram fan forever because he's from Long Beach. Huge Rams fan. So if he was out here, I would take him, but he's not in Cali, so.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, don't make the solution, don't bring either of them, because that's not an amicable solution.
And let's just say this, I don't want to be get left eye or get popped in the left eye.
Yeah, you will.
I'm going to give you my answer, and I'm going to plant my flag in it, mm-hmm. and it's going to be, I'm going to say take your son.
I agree. And I agree on the terms that Candace is cool with it. If she is like, no, I want to go, then you really don't have a choice because.
See, this would be a good question to ask the fans.
That's like, probably your wife right now. She probably listens.
No, she's in the other room going, you better fucking take me, you son of a bitch.
That's my accountant calling right now. She probably want to go because she's from LA.
Come on.
You're going to have some problems. You talking about real problems? Uh-huh. Don't let it be another woman you take.
Oh, God. That's the wild card that burns the whole house down. Yeah. That's when the Joker is standing in front of the pile of money on fire. And it's like, everything burns. Everything burns, man. That's it. You bring another woman. Yeah. Oh, man, that's tough, dude.
Yeah
I would say you got to have a, you got to have a, I would say you'd want to go with your kid, though, right? I mean, nothing against Candace, but like, that's an awesome father-son memory.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I'm going to think about it. I'm not going to tell her yet unless she's at the door listening. So I got to drive into work. So but this is going to be one of those ones driving into work where you turn all the music off.
Yeah.
And you just drive and think.
Drive in silence. It's my favorite.
Exactly.
Yeah, clear your head.
Hey, and if you want more confirmation or if you want more people to, you know, to kind of chime in, you can always put a poll up on Instagram.
Shut your bum ass up, man.
Josh Smith weighing in. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like that at all. Yeah, that's all right. Well, if you are listening to the show, you can hit us on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod. What should I might put a Twitter poll up and just see how it does. Like, who should Rob take to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
My goodness. And I will not put a B-Dog option.
By the time this come out, it's going to be too late. I've made a decision.
Oh, that's true. That is true. All right. Well, so.
Hey, guys. Jay Cutler started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know Mike Batiste at all? The Wizards coach?
No, I don't.
Man, okay, so the other night, he went up after a fan up in the stands.
Yeah.
Which I was like, what the hell is going on? I saw it on SportsCenter, and I was like, what? I guess there was a fan, John, behind the bench, and dude just said, all right, let's go. And the players were pulling him off.
Oh, it's weird when that happens, man, because, you know, if you look at certain people, you don't mess with them. But, you know, Mike Batiste, I'm like, I'll be quiet. I said it in my mind, but I ain't gonna say it to you. You know, Mike Batiste looked like he just kicked your ass.
Oh, God. Yeah, he would.
And we got to really start. Look, this isn't the first time, you know, it's happened with players before. Now it's happened with a coach.
We're gonna have to
start delving into what these people are actually saying, because I don't think we pay too much attention to that. And we're like, we're telling these guys, yes, oh, you all should have restraint. You all have the most to lose. That is true. But we're going to have to start understanding what these people are saying that are getting these players and coaches extra hot to sit up there and jump in the stands and be ready to fight somebody. It's not just anything.
You know, for me, growing up in Alabama, I've been called everything. So
I can't imagine. Know,
and for me, you can, you know, like the thing with Carmelo, when the dude calling you boy, I can understand, but that's not going to make me go crazy. Now, if you say the N-word or say something about my mama or something like that, that might push me over the edge. And so, and these players and coaches and whoever, they got to know that the fans, they don't care. They're going to say whatever they want to say because that's their way of getting under your skin, getting out of the house. So you got to show restraint. You know, I know that the first time I ever went in the stands and the only time in the stands when thing happened with Vernon, when the guy yelled out, "Who's that bitch on your arm?" And it was, you know, Vernon's baby who was stillborn, and that drove him over the edge, you know. But there's certain things that, you know, as a player, you know, comes with the territory. So you got to understand, like, to block them out. You know, just block them out, because in the end, it's going to hurt an innocent bystander. Because I think about when the Kansas fans or the Kansas guys got into the fight and spilled over to the fans and a little girl got kicked in the head. And all that. You got to think about that situation. You might be mad enough at him, but to get to him, there's going to be someone probably in your way that's an innocent bystander that's going to get hurt.
Yep.
So you got to, it's bigger. Words, you know, words don't hurt you, man. So just keep the calm here. And that's easy for me to sit here and say that because I don't play no more. So, I got riled up for less. So, but they got to understand that though.
Well, and it's for me, I get it in the sense of a player is usually a younger kid in his 20s. You get hot real easy in your 20s. You want to knock someone out for crossing. A coach has got a little more life experience under his belt, right? A coach is somebody that's been around it, been in the league, probably 40s. Or older, and I don't know how old Mike Batiste is, but I mean, at some point you got to go, okay, as a grown ass man, I'm gonna I'm going to let this stuff go to the side. So like, but like B-Dog said, you have no idea what this guy lobbed at him that got him to come
off. And
that's
an assumption. You would think, you know, with age, you would think comes restraint, but that's not necessarily the case because there are 40, 50 year old men who have, you know, triggers that it doesn't take much for you to say anything to them for them to, you know, be at your neck. So I don't, I really want to know. I got to start, we got to start figuring out and putting out what was said because it's some, nobody just jumps into a crowd like that. No one does. I mean, rarely do people,
especially
ever
not
that.
A coach, especially not a coach.
Yeah.
Have you ever had some a coach that you thought was, would ran a little hot like that or no?
Coaches I played with? Yeah. Larry Spear, Mr. Mean. That's the only person I figured I would have went up in the stands and got somebody. But other than that, nah, because I look at the staff I had in Houston Rockets. Mr. Mean was the only one. Maybe Rudy. But Rudy, you know, I'm looking at people who look like they can hold themselves. And because it was just Rudy and Mr. Mean. Everybody else was a little bit older, a little bit, you know, out of shape.
Would Rudy get hot?
Nah. Rudy would
not really,
fun.
Right?
Let's go have a drink afterwards and discuss this problem. And then you go to the Lakers. Everybody else on that team would like chill. You know, you think about it, nobody. And then when you get to the Spurs, no. Because it's like nobody is in shape in any of those teams. You know what I mean?
Too.
It's like, but if you look at Batista, he still looks like he can go. You think about all the coaches I played for, there's nobody that this, you know, we had one coach for the Lakers. I'm losing his name right now. He was in basketball shape, but he was really thin. But he wasn't in like beast mode shape like Batista.
Right.
Harris? Did you play there when Dell was there?
Yeah, I was there when Dell got fired.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And we always heard that Phil would burn sage in the locker room.
Yeah.
That he was just that chill. It was just he'd walk around, burn the sage. Yeah.
Phil seemed like the complete opposite. Phil looked like he took a couple of totes of the weed before he started coaching. Like, you have
banned medical marijuana fills up in the stands.
Phil was the complete opposite. The complete
you keep
opposite.
Your mouth shut. Yeah. But you talked about it this weekend, but my goodness. It is strip club mania in LA this week, man. With the Super Bowl in town, we've got all these strip clubs now that are going, oh, we're preparing for a full-on NBA All-Star Weekend. That's what they've said. All these strip clubs. What is it? Seventh Veil? I don't know any of these. They're already for a madhouse. They're bringing in over 100 girls. The last time they saw this crazy and expected this much business, and I'm not lying, NBA All-Star Weekend in 2018. That was the last time that the strip clubs were ramped up.
Hey, so, what is it about NBA All-Star? It brings out all the crazies, man.
Lord.
People just come from, it don't matter what city in, maybe not Cleveland, but maybe not Toronto, but it brings out people like, why are you going? NBA All-Star, you got tickets? No, because it's all corporate. You can't get in the game. Oh, right. I'm just going for the parties. I'm like,
yeah, because the NBA, when you think about it, When you start thinking about which sport is more connected to entertainment, music, rapping, it's the NBA.
Absolutely.
Rappers want to be NBA players. NBA players want to be rappers, and they know one another. Mm-hmm. So you see those guys courtside. So NBA, like outside of the Super Bowl, there's no better festivity to me than NBA All-Star Weekend. It's so much going on. And if it's in a great city, hey, man.
It's in Cleveland this year. You going?
No, I ain't going.
No, ain't nobody going to Cleveland. I don't think the broadcast teams want to go to Cleveland.
I'm on the board of the Retired Players Association, and I'm supposed to go, and I ain't going. I'm like, no, I'm not going. I could, just FaceTime me.
COVID, man, COVID. I can't go. COVID.
Guess where it is? Guess where it is next year?
Where?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, God in heaven. That's going to be a Hall & Oates white guy All-Star Weekend if I ever saw one. Holy crap.
Why are you going to go to two cold places back-to-back? I'm like...
Yeah, that don't make no sense. Salt Lake City, when the hell was the last time they had an All-Star game? I couldn't even tell you.
They had one about, when I was in the league, so about, 80 years ago?
So a 80, long,
90
long
years
time,
ago? A couple hundred years in the past when Karl Malone still played there?
I do think the NBA does need, and I know it's tough because... you got to kind of have a mandate of where you have these NBA All-Star weekends, just for the simple fact that, you know, the people that you want to come out and enjoy, have it in a more warm city. I know that Chicago's a nice city, but Chicago this time of year is 2 degrees. And I know they had it there last year.
Right. No, it was right before the pandemic.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. And Cleveland ain't going to be a walk in the park next weekend either.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
well, I can say this. I went to Chicago for All-Star, and I went to Toronto for All-Star. Toronto by far was the coldest. Yeah. I think it was 2 below. I'm like, are you serious right now? And I'm trying to walk to a damn game? Oh, yeah. Hell no.
I'll tell you what, though. Chicago puts a vote in for cold because I've never been in a city in my life where you take in a breath and you can feel the saliva in your mouth freeze. You can feel ice form on your tongue. I've never had that happen before. I was like, I mean, it is cold sometimes.
It's the only city I've ever been in also when they say, do not breathe outside because you will mess up your respiratory system.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you got an infection. Good job. Like, what do I do?
Bring All-Star Weekend back to Atlanta because that pandemic All-Star thing did not do this. It didn't do the city justice. Bring it back to Atlanta.
Yeah, because, you know, it brings in a lot of money. You know, Atlanta misses out on a lot of money because of that, and they don't have Freaknik no more and stuff like that. So much money so much money Atlanta's missing.
Freaknik didn't bring in any money for the city, man.
Yes, it did.
For the city of Atlanta, it brought in some stuff for some of the restaurants and clubs and stuff like that. But
well, that's the economy.
It also brought in a shit ton of gridlock. Brought with it. People partying in the street. You couldn't go anywhere.
Look at the white guy talking about, we can't bring Freaknik.
Some of us have movies to get to. Hey, we made appointments.
Hey, Atlanta going to have gridlock traffic anyway. So,
This is true.
It is what it is.
All right, well, let's do the big shot of the week, and we're going to play the game this week, which is called Shot Clock. Big shot of the week this week, speaking of football, is going to go to Philadelphia Eagles safety Anthony Harris. Here's why. He made an 11-year-old fan's dream come true. Did you see it this week? He escorted her to her daddy-daughter dance in Texas because her father and her grandfather recently had passed away. Her mom went on social media and just kind of threw it out and was like, my God, I would love to have Anthony Harris, who's my daughter's favorite player, go to the daddy-daughter dance with her. And not only did dude show up, Anthony Harris shows up with a paid-for dress, shoes, makeup, the whole deal. I mean, he paid for everything sure that this girl got to go to her father-daughter dance after losing her dad and her grandpa. So
just, that's a stand-up guy.
My goodness, that's great. Yeah. That's great. So
for me, these are the things that so many celebrities, athletes, whatever you want to call them, do that don't get talked about.
Yep.
And now that we have social media, I'm happy that they can put it out there. Because if think about it, we didn't have Instagram or Twitter, nobody would have knew this. And everybody's like, oh, you know, what's going on? Not nothing. But and this is the thing that I used to get mad about with ESPN. It's things like this that so many athletes do that you need to put on the air, but yet let a guy, you know, punch a guy, let a guy run a red light. Oh, you're gonna talk about it for fucking 4 days. But the good stuff, or the great stuff in this case, you don't talk about it. And you got to do more stuff. There's so many athletes out there that does this. But for him to step up and for this little girl and take her to the, you know, father Sunday, that's huge, man. Because I bet she's going to remember this for the rest of her life.
The rest of her life.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, she's 11. This is her favorite player in the NFL. And he shows up to his score after losing her dad and her grandpa. I mean, that's unbelievable. And like you said, it doesn't get enough light shined on it. But I think that's kind of why we started doing Big Shot of the Week, because
I thought the Big Shot of the Week was going to be?
Who?
The officer that gave up her body to push the little kid out of the way when the lady ran across.
I saw that story too.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. You see that? Yes. Yeah, so look, this lady didn't stop, and the officer saw that the little girl was about to get hit. She grabs her, throws her out of the way, and the car hits her.
Hits her.
And you know, the person driving the car stopped and got out. But I'm like, dude, I guarantee you she was on her phone.
Oh, I promise you. I promise you. But that's the great thing is there's so many candidates every week for Big Shot of the Week, which I love. But It was Super Bowl week, and this Anthony Harris story was just too damn good to not include. But
It's football.
Yeah, it was football related in Super Bowl week. It was too good. Before we do the game, who do you have this in the, winning this game? You got the Bengals or you got the Rams?
The Rams, man. I got the Rams. I think the score is going to be 28-6 because
– Oh, you think it's going to be one of those?
Yeah.
Oh,
Bengals don't have a line, man. The offensive line sucks. Man, your boy Donald just gonna feast. You know, Von Miller gonna feast. This is hard, man. If you don't have an offensive line, think about that. They've given up more sacks than anybody. They're the worst, and the Rams are the best. So,
well, didn't Burrow get sacked like 9 times or some nonsense in the
first Tennessee
championship game or whatever? Well, one of them. He got sacked like 9 times. Yeah. So, it could get sideways. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I think the Rams are gonna win it. I hope it's close. I would like to see Joe Burrow at least give the Bengals a shot. I hope it's not a blowout. I really do, because I think that he's a good player. He's a special player. Cincinnati, as we're going to address in our game in a minute here, never won a Super Bowl. So at least if they have a shot and they're in the mix and it's a good game, cool. But if you get run out of the building, God, it sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think – well, you already know where I stand on this.
Yeah, I know.
But what I will say is I've told a couple of people, I think it'll be a more along the lines of a 27-21 type of game. I look at it like this. The Rams have so many reasons to validate all the moves that they made, and the fact that most teams, this is only the second time in history where the home team gets to host the Super Bowl. Happened last year and it's happening this year. You couldn't ask for anything more perfect. You know, this, you win a ring now. There are so many storylines to this team. Aaron Donald finally gets a ring. Matthew Stafford, who they say couldn't win a playoff game, won 3 and won a Super Bowl in his first year with his new team. Sean McVay finally learns from the 2018 Super Bowl loss and finally gets over the hump. They have so many storylines because they need vindication.
Don't forget about they need vindication. Do you? You know,
that's another one.
He was cancer, but he playing really damn good to me.
Well, and Matthew Stafford coming over and Cooper Kupp having the year he's had, and, you know, spending all that money on the defense and Von Miller and Aaron Donald. And there, like you said, there's just it seems like the stars are aligned for the Rams. But I also would have not bet you anything that the Bengals would have been anywhere near this game, let alone in it. So, who knows? We'll see what happens. All right, let's play this week's game. I think this is going to be fun. This game is called Shot Clock. All right, here's how this game works. I got 5 questions.
Mm-hmm.
There will be 10 seconds that goes up on the shot clock. And here's what we're going to do. For instance, question number 1 would be, the Bengals are playing in their first ever Super Bowl, as we discussed. They are one of only 12 franchises who've never won a Super Bowl. So, we'll start with Robert Horry, and I'll let you make a guess here. In 10 seconds, how many other 11 do you think you could name in 10 seconds?
I could name about 4.
Okay. Now here, this goes to B-Dog. Do you want to try and beat that? Or do you want to see if he can do the 4 in 10 seconds? If he gets them, he gets the point. If he can't do 4 in 10 seconds, you get the point. So do you think you can do 5?
Yeah, I think I can do 5.
Okay. Robert Horry, do you think you could do 6 in 10
seconds?
Hell
no.
Okay. So B-Dog, I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
Hold on. Yo. He cannot say the Texans, though, because they just came in existence 2 years.
They're an NFL team.
They were on the list.
Hey, that's the first team I know, the Texans.
All right, so we'll skip the Texans then. All right, fine.
No, absolutely not. That's definitely one of the 5 I was going to name.
All right, well, I got 10 seconds. You got to come up with 4 ready? More. Here we go.
We have the Falcons, Panthers, Texans, Chargers, Browns.
Oh, no.
Browns.
Didn't get it in time.
Browns won a championship.
Didn't get it in time.
Browns won a championship, didn't
they? No, they did not.
They did.
I didn't get it in time?
No, you hit it right after the buzzer went off and you said Browns, man.
I got you.
So the point's going to go to Rob there.
I should have just said Cleveland.
Buffalo. You could have. Buffalo Bills, Cleveland Browns, Titans, Jaguars, yeah. Houston Texans, Chargers.
See, I was just going to go all with the expansion teams. That's how I was going to do
Minnesota Vikings, Lions, Falcons, Panthers, and Arizona Cardinals. All of
I want to challenge that, but I can't.
Y'all send it back to you. You can challenge it. You can listen to the buzzer go off and you not get it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. So this one, we'll go to you, B-Dog. Question number two in shot clock. We had Oak on last week, one of the one of the all-time greatest, Charles Oakley. He was giving Rob grief about nabbing one of his rings. So I guess the question would be here, if I put 10 seconds on the shot clock, how many members of the 93-94 Knicks roster could you pull out of your ass in 10 seconds?
Oh, I could probably only do three.
All right. Rob, can you do four?
He should be. Yes, oh, come on.
Four. All right. Yeah, Rob can do four. B, can you do five?
No.
All right, Robert Horry, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. You got to do four members of the 93-94 Knicks and go.
Ewing, Starks, Oakes, and Charles Smith.
Oh, there you go. Right there. Nice.
You know what?
Nicely done.
Hubert Davis, Greg Anthony.
Wait a minute. Did he say, say four?
Yeah, he said four.
You know, the crazy thing about it is I had I just had thought of the fourth one right before he went.
Greg Anthony, Derek Harper.
Hubert Davis. I also give you the starting lineup: Harper, Ewing, Smith, Oakley, and then Starks.
Starks is right. Anthony Mason easy. On that team, yeah, that by the way.
Yeah, then Mason's. And yeah. I even going to hit you with Bonner on that team. What's his name? Yes. Bonner or something like that?
Let me see. Hold on. I got it right here in front of me. Yeah, Anthony Bonner. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Good job. Nice. Yeah, I figured that, but look, man, some of these questions are going to lean one way or another.
Yeah.
All right, 2-0 Rob on this one. All right, back to Robert Horry here. The GOAT, Tom Brady, continues to toy with people about whether or not he's really retiring. And like you, y'all won 7 rings.
Yeah.
So you and Tom Brady in a pretty exclusive club. How many NFL quarterbacks could you name in 10 seconds that have at least 2 Super Bowl rings?
Is that without Brady?
Without Brady, how many? There's 11 others that have won at least 2 Super Bowls. How many do you think you could do in 10 seconds?
5?
All right. B, can you do 6, or do you want to challenge Rob to do the 5? He's camping on this one.
I think I can't. I'm doing this slow because I'm thinking of my.
I know. I know that's what you're doing.
Like, hold on. Google says I can do.
Nothing.
Can you do 6 or do you want him to do 5? Quarterbacks have won at least 2 titles.
At least 2.
There are 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. I think I can only do 5 as well.
So you want to challenge Rob or you want to one up him? You got to do 6 if you want it. If he does 5, he gets another point. This thing might be a wrap.
You know what? Forget it. I'm going to challenge him.
All right. You doing 6?
Yeah, I'm going to do 6. I'm going to think of 1.
All right. 10 seconds on.
Can I say Tom?
No, Tom outside of
Tom. No, that's excluding
Brady.
Tom.
Excluding Tom, there's 11 others.
I can't think of the damn dude's name right now.
So you only got 5.
I got
want him to do the 5?
If he only got 4, I got 5.
I said 5, so I got to go 5. You can get the point regardless, so let's try it.
All right, okay. So who's going? Rob?
Me.
All right, Rob, you got 10 seconds. 5 quarterbacks have won at least 2 rings. Go.
Montana Bradshaw, the guy from, God dang it, fat dude from Steelers. the guy who replaced Montana.
You got 2.
I couldn't think of the damn Steelers quarter. What's his name?
Big Ben Roethlisberger. Is that who you're thinking of?
I couldn't think of the other guy from the 49ers.
Steve Young.
Steve Young ain't on the list. Steve Young won.
So
one.
Do I need to go?
One? Yeah.
That's a point for
B-Dog. Here you go. Ready? Joe Montana won 4. Bradshaw won 4. Troy Aikman won 3.
Yep.
Eli Manning won 2.
Oh,
his brother Peyton won 2.
Won 2. Yep.
John Elway won 2. And then
Peyton won 2?
Yeah, he won 1 in Denver. He beat the Carolina Panthers when Cam won the MVP that year.
Yeah.
Von Miller was the MVP of that Super Bowl, I think, because he had the huge defensive game. And then you had like Jim Plunkett 1-2, Roger Staubach 1-2, Bart Starr 1-2. So
yeah.
All right. So it's 2-1, Robert Horry. Back to B-Dog.
I could have sworn. See, my whole point was Young going to, and I thought something else was going to come up. I would have lost that anyway.
So. Yeah, you weren't. It didn't matter. That would have been three, and you were short. All right.
I know it, yeah.
Question number four goes to B-Dog. Mm-hmm. This year, we saw, of course, the late Kobe Bryant get inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Justly so. Rob is still waiting on the phone to ring for his call. It might come.
That shit broke.
Well, if it's on your internet, we know why the call didn't go through. Trying to call him. He's not picking up. I don't know what's going on. So how many other Lakers can you name in 10 seconds who are in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame? B-Dog, Lakers in the Hall of Fame in 10 seconds. How many can you do?
Hey, I can name so many.
So give me hard to get give me a number. 10 seconds. Yeah,
I could do seven.
Seven. Rob, can you do eight?
I could do eight, but the fact that I don't have enough time in 10 seconds, well, fuck that. I'm doing eight.
You're doing eight? B-Dog, can you do nine?
Can I do nine? And they have to be in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, in the Hall of Fame now.
LeBron don't count.
Or do you want to challenge Rob to do eight?
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
All right. 10 seconds. Robert Horry, and go.
Bryant, O'Neal, Worthy, Magic, Cole, West, Mikeyton. How many is that?
Seven.
Seven. Oh, he couldn't do it.
I could think of.
There's a guy that sits right next to you.
I said Worthy.
Oh, did you say Worthy?
I said Worthy.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought I didn't hear you say Worthy.
I said,
you did get seven.
You didn't get Jerry West.
I said West.
Oh. Yeah, he said West. Did you say Kareem?
I said that's the one I was couldn't think of. I didn't say Kareem.
He's like the first on the list.
I didn't say Wilt either.
Yeah,
I'm like, God.
Wilt, Kareem. You got Magic. You got Worthy. Did you say Elgin Baylor?
That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, I got okay. Quick.
Yeah. Gail Goodrich, yeah. Carl Malone counts because he played. You know, not that I really count that, but I mean, did you say
Gary
Shaq?
Payton? I said Shaq.
Okay, you did say Shaq. All right, yes.
Yeah, Gary and Carl don't count,
right,
but they do.
Well, look, we're tied 2-2, so it's going to come down to the final question.
Okay.
We're going to go to Robert Horry. We've all seen our share of NFL games end with costly penalties.
Mm-hmm.
It's Super Bowl week. How many NFL penalties do you think you can name in 10 seconds?
Six.
All right, he's going to say six. B-Dog, do you want him to do the six, or do you think you could do seven? NFL penalties.
You know what? I think I'm going to go for the gusto.
You're going to try and do seven?
I think I'm going to try to do seven.
Rob, can you do eight, or do you want to challenge him to do seven?
This is so easy, but I can't. When you start trying to think.
I know. Time, 10 seconds ain't like, a lot of time,
yeah,
man.
Because there's so many penalties, you know.
All there right. are a lot.
Go ahead, B-Dog, because I'm
all
trying.
Right. B-Dog, for the win, 7 seconds, or 10 seconds, seven penalties, go.
Offsides, holding, false start, illegal procedure, roughing the passer. Pass interference and
no!
You
got six. Oh, damn.
See, it's so funny. Damn. I was gonna say taunting, offsides, illegal yeah. procedure,
taunting.
Too many men on the field. You know,
I should have said targeting,
targeting. I mean, illegal pass, delay of game. Intentional grounding, man. Face mask.
Too many men on the field.
Too many men on the field.
Too many men on the field. Yeah. It's like when your mind starts.
Did you say rough? Did you say rough in the passer?
Yeah, I did say rough in the passer.
You could have said rough in the kicker and gotten a two for
one. Yeah, I
could
have got.
You know,
could have got the two for one.
You could have said roughing.
Yeah, you could have said roughing, and I would have counted it twice. Yeah.
You got off scot free on that one. You got that one.
Hey, it's all right because you see all of them in there, and then they just come jumbled together. You're like So. Yeah.
All right. Tie break question. Who are you taking to the Super Bowl? Oh, no way. Shit. That's no.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money.